FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Zidane! Oh, fantastic! Batistuta! Oh, what a fantastic hit! Henry will have to do it alone. Oh, and here's Raul! Oh,
he's not just graceful, he's strong and determined. And look at the acceleration. It's a wonderful run from Kaká. It's a wonderful goal from Kaká!
The Euro Show with Adriano Del Monte on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of the Euro Show here on FNR, Football Nation Radio, your voice of football in Australia. Adriano Del Monte here with you today. I'm going to be alone for most of the day today, so I'd love to hear from you throughout the program. I'd love your texts, calls, tweets, whatever you'd like to do. Get involved in the conversation at any stage. We've got a big program in store. There is one final World Cup qualifier going on as well. Kicks off in 10 minutes in Peru and New Zealand. I'll keep you updated with live scores from there while on air as well. We're looking ahead to the domestic competitions. Finally, league action resumes after the third international break already this season. Quite extraordinary. We'll preview some of the big fixtures with a range of guests on the phone. But as I said, we'd love to hear from you. This is your program, your voice of football. We'd love you to get involved. Give us a call any stage, 9944. 9999 is the number if you'd like to call. If you're calling from abroad, add a +61 and a 3 in front. You can text us 0428 933 45, or you can tweet us at FNR_radio. As I said, live scores of Peru, New Zealand throughout the program. But first off the top, I'd like to welcome Louise Taffer into the studio to deliver us the latest news headlines out of Europe.
Hi, Adriano.
Hello.
Well, it's official. The Italian Football Federation have confirmed that head coach Gian Piero Ventura has been sacked following Italy's stunning elimination from the 2018 World Cup. I guess now, Adriano, the question is, who is in line next to replace him?
A few months too late, this decision, but it's a good question. Who next? We will have a guest online shortly to analyse the candidates next, because there are a number of very, very top-line coaches in the mix for the job. We'll see who comes through eventually.
Fantastic. Hopefully someone who will get the job done for Italy coming into the next World Cup.
Fingers crossed.
Well, it was revealed earlier in the week, but latest reports are adding further fuel to the fire that Real Madrid star Gareth Bale will likely leave the club. Consistent injuries and dips in form over time have led to this, with the three top Premier League clubs targeting him, Adriano.
It is true. £85 million is the reported fee. You'd imagine this is the time for Bale to move on. And there are three top clubs in United, Chelsea and Tottenham, I believe, who are in the mix at this point in time. But yeah, it's still a little early to say where and when. But I'd imagine the end of the season he could move on.
And as you've mentioned, domestic action returns in top league this weekend. Another Real Madrid player in the news, as always, is Cristiano Ronaldo. Form issues of his own this season in the La Liga. He too has had his name in the transfer rumours in recent days.
It's been a strange season. I know you're a big fan of Ronaldo yourself. He's an ex-Manchester United player. He's been linked there forever.
Yeah.
But obviously this season, coming in with the uncertainty of his own future, PSG were linked. It's been a strange season.
Could he make the return back?
Well, look, that's always going to be the rumour. I don't think he will. I really don't think he will. Not at this point in time where the United side are at. I think the United team are building something special going forward with the crop they've got. I don't think that would be a wise move for them. Obviously, he's the best player on the planet. Mm. But at 32, he's not getting any younger. But again, those rumours will continue for sure.
Mm. Well, staying in Spain, high-flying Valencia take on RCD Espanyol this week, but maybe without star striker Simone Zaza.
They may. Yeah. They may. The Italian international, of course, was recalled to the national team set up for the first time in a long time, failed to appear because of an injury in training. Unfortunately, the second place side in Spain may be without their star man, which would be a big blow.
It would be indeed, Adriano.
Louise, thank you as always for the news headlines. Louise launching a youth league program later today as well. Keep an eye out for that, Louise. Pleasure as always to have you in the studio. Well, let's move on now, because as I said, there's news aplenty right across Europe, and obviously domestic competition resuming this weekend. But in addition to that, We do have to continue discussing the fallout from the World Cup qualifying action, particularly in Italy. Louise mentioned off the top, a long time coming, but finally Giampiero Ventura has been sacked as the Italian national team coach. And here to help me discuss this, some potential replacements, and the Serie A as it finally returns this weekend, I'd like to welcome a good friend from Italian Football TV, Marco Messina, back to the program. Marco, welcome. Your thoughts on the inevitable dismissal of Ventura?
I think it was a coward move from Ventura to not even resign from the national team after what he did. I mean, we knew it was coming. I think the real issue is that the guys who are not leaving are the guys at top. You know, Tavecchio, the federation, everyone who hired Ventura, and everyone who's created this terrible organization from our youth. And I think that until that happens, we're still going to have that fish at the top that's still rotten.
Well, that's right. That's right. There is a lot of pressure on the board and all those involved and all those that were involved in the decision-making process with Ventura to resign and move on. But cowardly, the term you use is quite correct indeed, because it's been a strange 48 hours for the Italian national team. Obviously, in the past, we've seen the likes of Roberto Donadoni resign from his post after failure at the European Championships, Cesare Prandelli in Brazil immediately post-game. Ventura, he's not doing himself any favours by acting in this manner.
The only favour he's doing is with his paycheck, because if he resigns, he's not going to get the $800K that they were paying him. So I think that he was playing the politics of that one and looking for his payday rather than respecting himself and respecting all the Italy fans who he really let down. And I think his comment about, you know, I kind of felt there was this video going around of this journalist who followed him on a plane when he was going back to his hometown in Bari. And he said in the thing that he's one of the best coaches Italy's had in the last 40 years because he's only has two losses in 2 years. And I think that was such a stupid thing to say. In the midst of with everything that happened, who cares if you only lost 2 games in 2 years, which I think it's 3 games.
That's right.
You didn't qualify us for the World Cup. So what are you trying to justify?
Oh, absolutely.
It's ridiculous.
Absolutely. He did in the last 40 years. And in that point in time that he was mentioning, Italy have won a couple of World Cups, made another World Cup final, a few semi-final appearances, 2 European Championship finals. I'm certainly with you. Where is the basis for that argument? You mentioned respect for the national team. Obviously, Ventura showing very little of it. A couple of players, though, a couple of outgoing players who have certainly showed a lot of it, Daniele De Rossi and Gianluigi Buffon. Obviously, in the lead-up to the match, there was not a nice scene as the Swedish national anthem was being played in the second leg, with the Italian fans jeering and whistling while the national anthem was being played. Gianluigi Buffon standing and applauding the anthem, which, you know, not surprising from the legend that he is. But the story regarding Daniele De Rossi, which has just emerged, obviously there was the video that emerged of he and Lorenzo Insigne on the bench, De Rossi denying himself the opportunity of appearing in a final game for the national team, suggesting to the assistants and the coaching staff that put Insigne on, not me, we need to win this game. But the story that's emerged regarding De Rossi on the Swedish national team bus is quite a special one.
Yeah, I mean, and I think it goes to the character that I think we're missing in the the character, actually, of the players. It's the passion and the love that comes first that's lacking from our federation. I think players like De Rossi need to be inside of our organization now. That was a beautiful gesture, what he did. And it's because De Rossi doesn't care about the paycheck. De Rossi cares you know, the crest on the front of his shirt, the Italy logo. And I think this is something I've been saying. Players like Maldini, Del Piero, now Buffon, Pirlo, all these guys, Baggio, I could keep going on. I really believe that we need some of these guys inside of our federation because, like you saw with De Rossi, they play and they think with their heart first. The guys that we have up top are just looking to put their friends in better positions. They're looking to make money, and they're looking to keep them all in the same group. They don't play first for Italy, and that's the problem. That's what we're really lacking, and I would love to see a guy like De Rossi once he's done with his career and other guys like that to be in our federation.
No doubt. And for those of you that may have missed it, Daniele De Rossi went onto the Swedish national team bus After the match had finished, obviously, the Swedes were about to depart the San Siro, and he essentially went on, congratulated the side, and apologised for the behaviour of the Italian fans when the national anthem was taking place. So, really, you know, such a special moment, and the Swedish players have responded saying it was one of the best things they've ever seen. So full credit to Daniele De Rossi, of course, a World Cup winner and one of the greats in Italian football history, the fourth most caps for the national team as well. So with Ventura now gone, Marco, who next? There are a number of top names in the running. For me, I feel that it needs to be someone who can commit for at least, obviously, a full World Cup cycle, if not two. Who do you think at this stage, out of all the names currently linked, would be a suitable replacement?
You said it perfectly, and that's actually something that I said today on our channel, which is, yes, Ancelotti, Conte, all these guys that we're hearing, they sound good. You know, the names sound good. But I don't want another guy who's going to stay just for the Euros. Mm-hmm. I want the guy who's going to stay for the World Cup. You know, we had that small issue with Antonio Conte, who, if he would have stayed for the World Cup, we would not be out right now. We would not be having these conversations. So I think it's crucial, first and foremost, that we get someone who could commit with that. I know it must be hard with our federation, you know, to always agree stuff. But I think, you know, the names that they're saying sound good. I mean, who wouldn't be excited with Ancelotti? Who wouldn't be excited with Antonio Conte? You know, Conte does have a job, but I think that they're all good names. Hard to choose. As long as we keep somebody like that and somebody who's a winner and who's won something in their career.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That international pedigree is certainly crucial, and I think any one of those names would be suitable. It's just a matter of getting the board right, as you mentioned as well, equally as important. Before we move on to the Serie A, Marco, I read a report suggesting that obviously you're in the United States at the present time. I read a report saying that the U.S. Soccer Federation is considering a pre-World Cup tournament with a few of the heavyweights that missed out. Any truth in that?
You know, actually, a friend of mine just told me that, and I'm excited by it, of course. You know, the names like Holland, Chile, Italy, Greece, USA, who I'm trying to think the other guys.
Ghana was another
lot
one
of
who
them.
Was mentioned.
And I would love it. Mm. I would absolutely love it, but I don't know if there's any truth to it.
Well, we will see. We'll keep a close eye on it. Well, let's shift our focus to the Serie A now. Marco, I know you're in the middle of a football game somewhere in New York City, but we'll quickly touch on some Serie A action because, incredibly, it does return this weekend. It feels like it's been such a long time since that we've seen Serie A action with, obviously, the events of the past week, the World Cup disappointment, the Pirlo retirement. It's been a big week for Italian football fans, but let's shift our focus there. We'll start with Juventus. Sami Khedira yesterday came out and said that he's going to do all he can to help Juventus and, of course, Gianluigi Buffon end his career on the perfect note by winning the UEFA Champions League. Obviously, a lot of work still to be done, but now coming back out of the international break, particularly for the key Italians who were involved in the week that's just been in Italian football, do you think that'll have any impact on them returning to their clubs?
Of course. I mean, they're human. They're professionals, but they're also humans too. And I think it'd be strange if it didn't affect them. I think, you know, guys like Buffon, they've been through a lot of hardships and they've been able to put it past them. I don't think anything from some of the older guys to stump them too much. But I think, of course, especially for a lot of the younger guys in the team who are new to this, who were getting their first appearances, it's probably the first time that they've gone through something like this where the whole country is still confused and shocked. It still feels like a nightmare that we're waiting to wake up from. So I think that we will see a little bit of that from the younger guys. But as far as Buffon and the rest of the guys, I hope for them that they could get over it quickly and put it past them. But it's not something that's easily going to be put past for them.
Well, Juventus, they resume Serie A action away to Sampdoria. Sampdoria's side who have been very impressive with a number of key young stars emerging, some veterans getting it done in Fabio Quagliarella as well. Be a tough game for Juventus off the back of this break.
Absolutely. And I love Sampdoria. They've become like, I'm a Juventus fan, but Sampdoria is like my second club because I love what they're doing. I love Gianpaolo. I love Torreira. I love Zapata. I love Quagliarella. I love them all. And they're fantastic. And I hope that they push for European spot. And I really hope that they're able to push Juventus to their limits this weekend. It's going to be hard. It's going to be very tough. But I think we've seen from Sampdoria this season that what they lack in quality, they don't lack in the heart that they put into the game. And I think that's something that we haven't seen from the national team. So it'll be nice to see another Italian team at least put that on display.
And just a couple of big fixtures to have a quick look at before we let you go, Marco. There's two huge games Saturday evening in Italy, local time over there. Here in Australia, in the early hours of Sunday morning, we'll start with Roma-Lazio. Now, this is as big a derby as it's been for some time. Roma and Lazio both playing great football in Italy. Both teams with a game in hand as well. So a win here, and they're really, really back up the top with the likes of Napoli and Juve. It's a really important fixture, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's one that I just looked at the Serie A schedule yesterday just because it's been too hard to look and not even think about it, but it's going to be amazing. I think that's going to get our minds off things a little bit. Roma and Lazio, two very, 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 very informed teams. One of the best Lazio sides in recent times, being Juventus two times this season, and Simone Inzaghi is not going to back down to the challenge of getting another huge win for his Lazio. I think they feel like they could push this Champions League Roma side and say, listen, guys, you might be in the Champions League, but in Rome, we're trying to get there too. And Lazio, brilliant team. Love watching Simone Inzaghi teams. And for Roma, they've been deadly. They've proved a lot of us wrong of Di Francesco. And it's going to be a fantastic match.
Absolutely. And then the other big one on Saturday evening in Italy, Napoli and AC Milan. Of course, the top of the table, Napoli against AC Milan. I can't see anything but a Napoli win in this one, but it's always a big clash when these two sides meet.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that it's the obvious one, but sometimes when it's a little bit too obvious, it causes some problems. But I think that we're going to see Napoli's under a little bit of pressure. Juventus pulled through on that gap right before the international break, so Napoli are going to want to get a win.
Too easy. Thank you for that, Michael. Get back to your football, score a few goals for us, and we'll chat to you again very soon.
Thank you.
Marco Messina there, joining us live from New York City. Italian Football TV is where you can check him out, doing some wonderful, wonderful stuff. They're on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, all forms of social media, doing wonderful things, obtaining exclusive content and traveling the globe and living the life indeed. A few other big fixtures this weekend in Italy. Inter and Atalanta meet. Atalanta, another side who, playing in Europe, doing very well in the Europa League, incredibly topping that group at the moment with, who are they with? They're with Lyon, Everton and Apollon. So Atalanta really impressing, 10th in the league, maybe the Europa League involvement, taking its toll on them a little, but nevertheless, a big test for them away to Inter Milan. That match live on beIN Sports Monday morning, local time in Australia. Benevento, they've got a chance to pick up perhaps a point for the first time this season. They take on 17th place Sassuolo. Now, a player for Sassuolo who you will hear about a lot in the future, Berardi. He's been linked to Juventus for some time. He's struggled with injuries this season. He's said to be back for this one, which won't assist Benevento's cause if they want to pick up some points for the first time. But nevertheless, Benevento at home against 17th place Sassuolo. Opportunity, nevertheless. There are a few other fixtures as well. Crotone, Genoa, Spal, Fiorentina, Torino, Chievo, Udinese, Cagliari, and Verona, Bologna. Another big weekend of Serie A football. And for all Italian fans, I've spoken to many of them over there in Italy, family, friends, and just supporters around the world on all forms of media. And it's a timely return for the domestic competition because the feeling over there is very, very dim at the present time. They're still in shock, still a feeling of numbness and disbelief in society in Italy, but maybe this provides them a way to get their minds off it and focus back on the clubs they love. Just a quick one in Serie B, Italy's second division. Arguably the most highly fought and contested league in the world at the present time. 22 teams in Italy's second division and just 12 points separate top from bottom after 14 rounds. I've never seen anything like this. And the bottom side, Ascoli, have lost three on the spin, but are just 12 points adrift of Palermo. Of course, the Sicilian club, Palermo, topping the table with 25 points. So one of the most tight and hard-fought leagues I have seen in some time. So we'll keep you updated with that in the weeks to come. An update from Peru and New Zealand, currently 0-0, 10 minutes in, according to the statistics. One shot to Peru, not much else going on at the present time. We'll keep you updated with that match. And for now, though, we're off to a very quick break. On the other side, we switch focus from the Italian Serie A and we'll look at the Spanish La Liga. A couple of big games there this weekend, Atletico and Real headlining the list of fixtures. A A couple of big contracts and big players potentially on the move. Barca and Real Madrid involved as always. But for now, we'll be back very shortly right here on the Euro Show on FNR Football Nation Radio, your voice of football in Australia.
FNR Football Nation Radio.
It's a wonderful goal from Kaká.
The Euro Show with Adriano Del Monte on FNR Football Nation Radio.
You're listening to the Euro Show here on FNR Football Nation Radio, your voice of football in Australia. Adriano Del Monte here all alone in the studio today. So I'd love to hear from you. Get involved in the conversation at any stage. If you've got any questions or just like to put your point of view across, give us a call. 99 44 99 99 is the number if you'd like to call. You can tweet us at FNR underscore radio, or even easier than that, just give us a text 0428 933 45. Live scores from Peru and New Zealand. 14 minutes gone. Peru 0, New Zealand 0. Very tense second leg in South America. Exciting times as the final nation will out of Peru and New Zealand, obviously, will complete the list of 32 headed to the FIFA World Cup in 2018 in Russia. But for now, we are switching our attention over to the Spanish La Liga. Exciting times in Spain. Big games this weekend. Help me preview this and all the news coming out of Spain. I'd like to welcome Ozan Gunce back to the Euro Show. Welcome, Ozan.
Thank you, Adriano. Always a pleasure. And I must start by apologising as I'm still coming down with the flu. So if I sound like a vuvuzela from the 2010 World Cup, then you know exactly why.
No dramas. You're our Spanish expert. All we need is the news and facts. Doesn't matter how we get it. Thanks for joining us, though, as always. Well, let's start. Look, there's been heaps of news over the last week or two regarding Barca and Real Madrid key players. And we'll start with Barcelona because the keyest of all the keys, Lionel Messi, has signed apparently a lifetime contract extension with the club.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we were talking about Ronaldo last week and now with Messi at Barcelona. So according to the La Liga president, Javier Tebas, there is reportedly a lifelong contract either signed or pretty much signed and agreed upon between the Argentine and the Catalonian club. Mm. So we are just simply waiting on a confirmation now from their end to say that it has or hasn't happened.
Hardly surprising for me. Messi is a player who is never going anywhere. Despite some rumours that always come about with every top player in world football in the history of the game, Messi is one who has just never appeared even remotely likely to leave Barcelona. And look, it's an interesting time for the club. So if there was a time that he was going to leave, it may have been around now, because obviously the loss of Neymar, you know, some failings in the transfer market before the season actually started, with regards to no top replacement. They did sign Dembele. Obviously, he's really yet to play for the club just yet. But obviously, Messi very evidently satisfied, content, and has full faith in his club to ensure that he maximises his career at the club and goes on to be what will be one of the very last one club players in world football.
Well, yeah, just on what you said, that's exactly the case. I mean, he has the opportunity now, which I'm sure he'll take, to be a one-club legend at his club, given that he's pretty much started his youth academy days there at La Masia after moving over from Argentina, making that long trip as a little child, pretty much. So that's at his hands now. He just has to take it. And as you've said, it never really looked like, realistically, that he was going anywhere. I mean, you know that it's a tough transfer to make when you can't even make it happen on FIFA, on PlayStation or Xbox. So, I think he'll end up staying there, and so he should, really.
No, absolutely. And now, staying with Messi's club, Barcelona, there are a couple of big names who have been linked with a move to the club, and the reports are increasing in intensity by the day. The first one is the long, long saga of Coutinho from Liverpool. Now, I read a report out of Spain last night, suggesting that they are set for crunch talks this month to once and for all determine whether this move will take place. For me, it looks like it will take place because Coutinho very evidently wants to leave Liverpool for Barcelona on the back of what took place in the summer. And it's not as if that Liverpool's form in the Premier League this season has really inspired him to remain in England. That's just my opinion. But the bigger one is Antoine Griezmann of Atletico Madrid. Now, the reports emerging there are suggesting that this is done. 100 million euro is the reported fee. Apparently, the terms have been agreed. So obviously no official statement or word on it, and I wouldn't expect we will hear any form of official word for some time, but apparently there is a deal that has been agreed in principle.
Yeah, look, I've heard such reports as well and stories coming out of Spain on that one. So I think it's pretty much done and dusted and pretty much over the line for Griezmann moving over there to the Premier League. And Atletico, their shopping is going to be, or what they'll be shopping for will be very interesting, because there's also rumours about Saul moving to Manchester United. But they're also apparently trying to get Mesut Ozil back in the La Liga.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That would be very interesting.
Yes. Ozil, obviously such a talented, gifted player. He's had some time in the Spanish top flight previously, of course. It's a strange one because he appears to be a player who, in a top side, plays very, very well. But when a team is not really performing well, is he really the man to invigorate a side into bigger and better things? I personally don't think so. And for that reason, I don't think he'd be a suitable fit for an Atletico side who could be potentially undergoing some change in the upcoming summer.
Yeah, look, it'll definitely be controversial either way. And I think Mesut Ozil, in my eyes, is the sort of player that when he shines, he really does blossom and scores amazing goals and assists in similar fashion as well. But I don't believe that he's the sort of player to pick up a team when they're down. And that might not really be work in his favour if he moves to a team like Atletico, as you've mentioned. But having said that, he's having the similar sort of criticism at Arsenal too. So it'll be definitely interesting to see where he'll be going, because I feel that he will be going as his contract is ending at the end of the season. So watch this space in January, I would say.
Absolutely, I'd agree with you there. Now, let's switch to Real Madrid. Gareth Bale and Cristiano Ronaldo in the news, as always. For Bale, it appears that his time at the club is done. Another injury for Gareth Bale. I feel for him. I'm a big fan of Gareth Bale. Love what he does. Love what he's capable of. But obviously, failing to consistently perform, whether it be due to form or obviously more so injuries in his time in Madrid. He still had a wonderful time, nevertheless, winning all sorts of titles and really scoring some truly memorable goals in his time. But it appears now that his time could be nearing its end in Madrid.
Yeah, look, he's an amazing athlete, first and foremost. I think his match fitness, when he is good to go, is just simply remarkable and world-class, and he's shown that in the last European Championships. But as you've said as well, Adriano, the fact that he's so injury-prone, it does play a role in, I guess, bringing a halt to his career. And if he goes through another lengthy injury, then we might not see him at the Bernabeu before long. So, yeah, it's really sad to see. And also the fact that Wales won't be going to the World Cup as well. It's probably played a part in not so much the injury, I suppose, but in terms of morale as well. But hopefully we will see him back in the on the pitch very soon.
Yeah,
but just on Real Madrid and Atletico, which I'm sure you were getting to now, the big derby, which will be at 6:45 a.m. Sunday morning our time.
Huge derby.
That's massive. I've got a little if you'd like me to share it, I've got a little note here about the history of these two teams, just real quickly.
I'd love you to share it.
Every time that these two teams have played at a new stadium or a revamped stadium, Atletico has either won or there was a draw. So that dates back to all the way to 1914. They've played at four different stadiums, and now they'll be at the Wanda Metropolitano for the first time these two teams taking place. So there's an interesting
little fact. There you are. A wonderful statistic, and that bodes well with Atletico Madrid, because they're obviously yet to suffer a defeat in the Spanish top flight this season. So all signs pointing to a result for Atletico. They'll be hoping for a win. You just feel, though, Ozan, that should Atletico... Look, they're currently tied on points. They're level on points, 23 points apiece in third and fourth place, respectively, other two Madrid clubs. You just feel, though, that should Atletico get a result in this one, ensuring that Real Madrid fall even further behind Barcelona, who, and Valencia as well, for that fact, that it is almost all over in Spain.
Yeah, I think it'll just be too hard for Real Madrid to get back into that top two, and Atletico might end up battling it out with Valencia. And we must give credit to and not forget about Valencia, who are second. So I think before planning for the championship and for silverware for these two teams, they also need to think about how to knock down Valencia, who will be travelling to Espanyol, who have lost one game at home this season. So that will be an interesting clash also.
Certainly will. Valencia could be without star striker Simone Zaza, we mentioned earlier. Picked up an injury while training for the Italian national team. Very disappointing week for he. Obviously called up for the first time in a long time, suffered an injury, missed that, and hopefully it doesn't affect his Valencia side, who are currently 4 points adrift of Barcelona. Barcelona in action away to Leganés in the top flight this weekend as well. So some very big games in Spain. Just one final one I'd like to mention is the potential return, or he's returning, whether he plays or not, we will see. But Dani Carvajal, who's been cleared to play after heart problems for Real Madrid, obviously such a wonderful player for both club and country. It'd be great to see him back on the pitch for his club.
Yeah, absolutely. And that sort of reminds me of a little bit of Eric Abidal's story as well. And hopefully it'll have the similar ending where he's applauded back onto the field and completes his career on a high.
No doubt. Ozan, thank you as always for your contributions. We will chat with you early next week and review a big weekend in Spain.
Thank you so much, Adriana. Looking forward to it as always.
Thank you, Ozan Gunce there joining us live from Sydney, our Spanish expert. Talking all things La Liga, very interesting time with those, particularly with those big transfer stories. Griezmann, obviously Bale, where will he go? There are so many talking points in the Spanish top flight, but unfortunately it appears that should Real Madrid fail to win this weekend, I'm not saying that should Atletico Madrid win that they can't win the crown, but Barcelona have been playing far too strong this season. And if Real Madrid drop any more points and Barcelona are to win, which is obviously a very likely outcome, given the fact that they've taken 31 from 33 points this season, the race for the La Liga crown could be done and dusted. Live score from Peru and New Zealand, still 0-0. 25 minutes gone. Peru with the bulk of possession. New Zealand yet to test the goalkeeper. Peru, though, yet to have a shot on target. They've had a few shots, but none on target as the two nations battle it out for the final World Cup qualifying spot in the lead-up to Russia 2018. We're off to another break here on the Euro Show. On the other side of it, we talk German football, French football, and bring you a few more transfer stories right here on FNR Football Nation Radio, your voice of football in Australia.
FNR Football Nation Radio.
It's a wonderful goal from Kaká!
The Euro Show with Adriano Del Monte on FNR Football Nation Radio.
Live across Australia and right around the world, this is the Euro Show on FNR Football Nation Radio, your voice of football in Australia. Adriano Del Monte here with you, reviewing and previewing a big week of European action and having a look ahead to what's to come as domestic action resumes. I've mentioned the third international break already this season. Very busy time for these players in the lead up to Christmas, where some of Europe's top leagues that have taken breaks over that break aren't doing so this time around. A UEFA Champions League week next week. So much football going on as always. A great time of year, no doubt. Well, let's switch our focus now to the Bundesliga and the French League. If there are any German or French fans out there, give us a call at any stage. 99 44 99 99. Keep the text coming in as well. We're receiving plenty today. 0428 933 45, or you can tweet us as well at FNR_radio. But we are switching focus now to the Bundesliga, as I said. And on the line, we have Sasha Pizzani, sports journalist from Omnisport in Melbourne. Sasha, welcome aboard.
Good to be back again.
Good to have you. Let's start with the Bundesliga. Very big weekend ahead in the Bundesliga, as always. Similar to the Spanish league, the top clubs in the chasing pack don't want to lose touch with the top of them all in Bayern Munich. So it's a very important weekend for some of Germany's top clubs.
Yeah, none more so than Borussia Dortmund, you have to say. You know, they started so brightly, but perhaps the international break came at a good time for them.
Absolutely. Dortmund, really, they had that early 5-point lead over Bayern Munich. In the standings now, have dropped 6 points behind. So an 11-point turnaround for Dortmund in what feels like no time at all, only a handful of games. They've really struggled in both the Champions League and the Bundesliga as well. So an opportunity, though, for them, as you said, a timely opportunity now after some rest to bounce back against Stuttgart, a side who, you know, not playing the best football this season, but could potentially continue Dortmund's poor run. You just feel, though, that another defeat or at least failure to obtain maximum points could spell the end for their manager.
Yeah, he's under a lot of pressure, Peter Bosch. You know, right from Ajax, and like I said, started brightly. But just everything's falling apart at the moment. You know, even in the Champions League, you know, winless of four games in the league, that turnaround in points is just really alarming. Like you said, if they happen to drop points again, yeah, it could be in for him.
Certainly an alarming time for Borussia Dortmund. Also for New Zealand, just some live scores. Peru have just scored. They've gone ahead 1-0. Jefferson Farfan scoring for Peru. So New Zealand now must score if they want to advance to the 2018 World Cup. Elsewhere in Germany, Bayern Munich take on Augsburg this weekend. Another home match, another fixture they should win.
Yeah, well, they're just under your flankers. They've just really returned to their old ways. Seven games unbeaten since he replaced Ancelotti. You know, it was well known that a lot of the senior players weren't happy with Carlo. Familiar face comes in. You know, he won the treble Bayern, and they're just a house on fire at the moment.
They're doing wonderful things. And a team in the Bundesliga who have fascinated me, Wolfsburg, brought in a new manager and have drawn every game since they've brought him in. They take on Freiburg in a match that they should win, but given their recent run, no guarantee to do so.
No, definitely not. You know, one win in 11 games is just unbelievable. They've only lost twice.
Eight draws.
It's just, yeah, it's unheard of, really.
A strange start.
Yeah, it sounds like the Bundesliga too. It's such a fascinating competition. There's a lot of talk about the Premier League and all that, but the Bundesliga is such an even competition. Obviously, Bayern have dominated at the top, but below that, there's always teams sort of well even. So it's good to see.
Certainly a good competition to watch. Now, that team, Freiburg, who taking on Wolfsburg this week, and they were involved in the previous round before the international break in a fixture against Schalke, which Schalke won away from home 1-0. There were some issues that took place in that match with the VAR, the video assisted referee system that is used, where they replay what took place on the pitch and then make their decision off the pitch. There were two incidents in that game with Schalke which were awarded and then overturned incorrectly. And quite incredibly, the man behind the scenes who was there overseeing the VAR decision was an ex-director of Schalke. He has been stood down from all responsibilities, anything to do with the VAR system, obviously. So it's the first real controversial moment we've seen in any of the nations that have implemented this VAR system. What are your thoughts on its success and potential downfalls thus far, not only in the Bundesliga, but obviously right across the world?
It's caused so much controversy, probably unneeded as well. You know, Germany's one of a couple of countries, along with Australia, that introduced it this season. Obviously, Helmut Krug, the man you're talking about, was stripped of his role. He obviously denied any wrongdoing. But yeah, it's just interesting. Apparently, he lives really close to Schalke's home ground, so there's a lot going on there that doesn't seem too good. But, yeah, just there's so many pros and cons of this VAR, a lot of controversy. It's a shame it's taking away from all the games. There's been a few incidents this season, so they've got to get it right because, yeah, it's overshadowing a couple of results.
Yeah, no doubt. This was brought in to clean up the game, not make it more controversial and, you know, add more grey area where grey area wasn't required. But nevertheless, I'm sure they will fix that up, although there have been some suggestions that maybe they'll scrap the VAR, which I don't think would be the right decision given the fact that they've implemented it now, but we will see what happens. Let's move over to the French top flight. Now, before we get to some of the fixtures for this weekend, an interesting story concerning the Saint-Étienne manager, Oscar Garcia, who was stood down from his role as head coach and his assistant has gone as well. It's an interesting one because they were a wonderful side last season and they're sixth at the moment, not as strong defensively this time around as they were last season, but haven't put too many feet wrong at the present time, but they have really struggled in their last three games and it's proven to be the catalyst for his departure.
Yeah, they started really well, but the wheels just fallen off. He was only he only lasted 5 months, which is just no time at all. But that 5-0 loss to their rivals Lyon, I think, was really icing on the cake, and I think there was no real option. Probably the fan pressure as well. So time for a change, I guess.
Well, they're away to Lille this weekend. I always find the timing of these departures bizarre. You're away to Lille this weekend. Maybe an interim comes in or a new manager comes in, but they will win. They'll win away to Lille this weekend, and all of a sudden there may be a bit of momentum building once again. Like you said, they did have a good start to the season, a very good start to the season. And, you know, all of a sudden now they are given an opportunity to win, and they may do so, and hopefully for their sake they can bounce back. The big game that jumps out at me, though, Paris Saint-Germain against Nantes. Interesting, very interesting game. Nantes with one of the best defensive records in the competition against PSG with the best every record in the competition. Do they have any chance?
Oh, well, they've got a certain man, but they've got Claudio Ranieri in charge. So anything's possible, given what he achieved at Leicester. A lot of pressure on Neymar and PSG. There was a lot of talk of a rift with Neymar and, you know, Cavani and you know, Emery. Even talk that, you know, Neymar could potentially end up at Real Madrid. I know Sergio Ramos spoke openly about welcoming him to the Bernabeu, which would be unbelievable given his history with Barcelona.
Absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah, and he was tearful during the week after the Brazil game. So, yeah, not all's well there by the look of it. So it'd be an interesting match.
Yeah, absolutely will. And Monaco, who obviously in the running for... Look, they're only 4 points adrift of PSG, but I just can't see them maintaining the pace with the Parisian Giants. They're away to Amiens, so should be another routine win, although they have had a couple of issues already, dropping two games this season.
Yeah, to be honest, they've done a great job to be where they're at. You know, considering the players that left and the calibre of players that left after such a tremendous season, to be second still and, you know, only 4 points adrift is a remarkable effort, really, when you consider the players that came in to replace, you know, like Mbappe and all that aren't at the same, you know, calibre, but they're obviously a team that, you know, builds for the future and is a selling club. So, it's a good start for them. They should get a win. And the game itself will be played at Amiens' home ground, which was in doubt. Don't remember in September, the game against Lille, a few of the away fans, the barriers gave way and a few fans were injured. So they've been given the green light to return to the home stadium, which is good news for them.
Absolutely good news for them. And a couple of the other big fixtures, Lyon, Montpellier and Bordeaux, Marseille. It's an interesting race for those Champions League positions this season in the French league, isn't it?
Yeah, I didn't expect Marseille... A lot of issues, obviously, there, Evra. That's their first game since sacking the veteran for his Kung Fu Cantona-style kick on a fan. So that's interesting to see how that goes. But, yes, the likes of Marseille and Lyon are performing well. Obviously, PSG should, you know, run away with the league. So it's about, you know, challenging for that second, third, fourth position. So it's fascinating.
Absolutely. Sasha, that's all for today. Appreciate your contributions, as always, and we'll chat again very soon.
Look forward to it.
Sasha Pizzani there joining us on the line from Melbourne, a sports journalist from Omnisport. Great insight into the Bundesliga and Ligue 1. He mentioned there Patrice Evra, of course, fly-kicking a fan in the Europa League game. Bizarre scenes, but he has been banned for a year. So we may never see him on the pitch again. He's back to his old habits. If you follow him on all forms of social media, he's back up and about having some fun. But I'm sure deep, deep down inside, he's hurting and very regretful, because not the best of scenes that I've ever seen on a football pitch, and it was pre-game as well. So not a memorable time for him in his rich, glorious career, but he is done. So he will never play for Marseille again. He probably will never play in the French top flight again. If I had to tip where he'd move, I think a move abroad maybe on the cards, perhaps the Middle East or maybe the Chinese Super League forever, if someone wants to give him a lifeline. Obviously, those actions will be considered, no doubt. An update, Peru, New Zealand just entered the 40th minute. Peru 1, New Zealand 0. 4 shots and 72% possession. Farfan with the goal, as I said. So approaching halftime, Peru lead by a goal to nil, 1 foot in the 2018 World Cup Finals. Well, I'm off to a very short break here on the Euro Show. Back on the other side of this to wrap up what has been another entertaining hour.
FNR, Football Nation Radio.
It's a wonderful goal from Kaká!
The Euro Show with Adriano Del Monte on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Welcome back for the final time this afternoon to the Euro Show here on FNR, Football Nation Radio, your voice of football in Australia. Some transfers to finish up today. Now, we mentioned Antoine Griezmann and Coutinho, the situations. I did say that Barcelona is set for some crunch talks with Liverpool this month. So finally, I'm very hopeful because, to be fair, I'm sick of talking about it, but I'm very hopeful that the Coutinho situation is resolved once and for all because it's been a very long, long, long saga. Griezmann as well, he was obviously tipped to move to Manchester United in the summer just gone. I didn't think there was much chance of that taking place. It didn't, but unsurprisingly now with Barcelona reportedly very close to acquiring the talented Frenchman, Manchester United are back in the reports saying, no, hang on, we are interested as well. So look, it seems likely he will leave, Barcelona leading the way, but the reports concerning Manchester United will not go anywhere. There is no way because United will want him. He's a super player, very close with Paul Pogba as well. So it would be a matchup that they'd like to reunite at club level, obviously doing wonderful things for their national team. Bayern Munich's Lewandowski. Now, they've been in the running for a long time for a backup number nine. Fernando Torres has been a player linked. Giuseppe Rossi, former Italian international, or potentially still Italian international, has also been linked. The latest name linked to Bayern Munich, Arsenal's Olivier Giroud. So that is an interesting one. Giroud, again, will he be satisfied as playing a role off the bench, a reserve striker role? Possibly, but probably not. So it's going to be difficult, this search for Bayern Munich, because to find a player capable and with the quality to play for Bayern Munich, but one who is willing to play 10, 15 minutes per game, if they're lucky, it's going to be a very, very difficult task. Arsenal, they're ready to walk away from the deal for Thomas Lemar. Of course, one of the Monaco jewels who wasn't snapped up in the summer, Arsenal failing at the last minute to complete the deal. Apparently, despite all of their talk and negotiations, it's almost off the table. And the last one back to Barcelona in Spain, Javier Mascherano is reportedly on the move back to Argentina. A lack of playing time at Barcelona as his legs get on and he ages a little more. Apparently, this will be his final season in Spain. Well, that is all for today. As I leave you, we're approaching halftime at Peru, New Zealand. 1-0, 45th minute. I'm off to go and tune in to the second half, which should be enthralling viewing. For now, though, that's all we have time for here on the Euro Show. Thanks to all the contributors today for their support and assistance. Thank you at home for listening and right around the world. This has been the Euro Show with Adriano Del Monte on FNR, Football Nation Radio, your voice of football in Australia. Until next time, it's goodbye for now.
The Euro Show with Adriano Del Monte on FNR, Football Nation Radio.